Okay, so we dealt with 2.5, let's say, factors of possibly for yourself last time. Let's just review. The first we dealt with was the external concerns, right? Cases in which you're allowed to poskin, in principle, right? You have the authority, you have the expertise, but you are externally constrained by the fact that, let's say, your teacher is present and therefore there are honor concerns or things like that. In that context, however, we use that to point out one of the more important questions in Psak, which is something considered a shaila? Okay? And most things, as we noted, are not. Right? Things that are, the answer is clear, are not a shaila, and therefore there's no problem. Things that are even just in poskim, and you're relying on specific poskim, even though there might be a machloket, even there, Shulchan Aruch raises the possibility that that's not psak. So when you're dealing with the question of can you poskim, obviously the first thing you have to deal with is what is the question being asked actually new enough that it counts as psak. By the way, I will note that this follows up on a conversation I was having with Tiferet last time. My, like, principal position that you should all believe that if you are educated enough, you should be able to make decisions, right, of some level, right? And then the more expert you become, the more... I always forget how important this is to me to drive it. Drive it home, because yesterday I was teaching, I was last minute, like, I woke up yesterday morning, asked if I could pinch hit a class for Smicha guys at Mizrahi, which is fun, I love teaching them, they're great. It's Mizrahi has like a Smicha fellowship thing going on, and they want me to give like a mini series on Psak, right, so I was doing an overview yesterday, and yes, even guys learning for Smicha, when I said, okay, what do you do when you have a complicated shaila? Several of them said, you ask your Rebbe. And I'm like, maybe that's the right answer now. That's not what I'm asking you, right? You guys are learning for Smicha. I hope that some of you at some point...
Smicha people than us.
What?
Because more concerning here from Smicha. I know
what I'm saying. Meaning, I think at some level... But my point is just that, again, no, there it really does... It takes... You have to shift out of the mindset that there's like some qualitative break between you and postgame. Because it's not qualitative, it's just you're not there yet, right? Meaning someone, you know, I think in most other disciplines, right? Let's say, how many of you are thinking of being doctors? No one? No one's thinking of being a doctor.
Well,
I know, right? What were the chances?
They asked that interview about once, and no one put their hands up.
Being Jewish, Jewish physicists are extremely prevalent in the field. So,
you want to be a physicist?
In a way, but I mean, going to be majoring in physics.
Okay, fine. Whatever the case may be, right? Do you view the difference between you now and, you know, an expert physicist as such that you don't imagine yourself in that position yet, at some point in your life? Was that not clear? Try that again. Meaning, right, whatever. Let's try that again. Meaning, whatever it is that you want to do professionally,
yeah,
right, despite the fact that you know you're not at that point yet, you're not yet an expert, I assume that in your mind, you don't view the difference between where you are there and where you one day will be as like some qualitative break. Right, that the person who's already reached that is some expert you can never reach, right? The whole point of going to school to learn to be that.
They have more experience.
Exactly. But for some reason, when it comes to like Psak, right, I have a hard time getting people to believe this, which is that post-skim are not like born. It's not like there are most people who are born and are never going to be post-skim, and then those people that when they're born, there is a halo over their head that says post-sig or future post-sig, right? That's not how things work.
It's like very, very high like expectations. So you need to have, it's like in order to be a postdoc, you have to be a like clinical genius and know everything.
Sure, sure. The standards are high. I'm not saying the standards aren't high.
Doctor is so much better.
Right, that's why, and that's why you doctor thing is a good example where right? Like even specialists, right? People imagine that they might want to be be a specialist. They don't know yet, right? Meaning to be a specialist, right? Like Ora's uncle is a internationally acclaimed like specialist in infertility, right? Yes. Anyways, not my side. That's not true. We have plenty of doctors on my side. But yeah, like he went to medical school and then he specialized in I think three times, right? Because then you have to specialize in OBGYN and then he had to specialize again in whatever, infertility and then infertility surgery and right, whatever, right? You don't know at each stage whether you're going to make it to the next stage, right? It's very demanding, but I assume that if someone knows it's what they want to do down the road, right, even if they might fail at some point and stop, and now I'm just a doctor, or I'm just a, right, OB, or I'm just a whatever, right, the reason they keep learning is because they think that they might get to that point. And yet for some reason in talk, right, people are like, oh, that's really, really demanding, rather than saying, it's really demanding, but I'm going to get as close as I can, and if I get, right, and maybe I'll get there, maybe I won't. You can't know in advance, right? You can't know in advance, right? No, someone going into medical school doesn't know in advance whether they're going to be accepted into all the specialties and some specialties in the 15 years of education. And yet, right, they embark on the path. And yet, so it's not a criticism. It's just a reality that one of the things that needs to happen in the course of education is that you need to be convinced that there is no fundamental limit stopping you from getting to a particular point on this trajectory, okay? But yeah, it's not only you that I have to drive this in and convince you, right? I had to spend like 15 minutes trying to convince Micha guys, and I'm like, yes, now you should ask your Rebbeim, but when are you going to start answering the questions, and what will it take for you to get there, right?
Is there, for like a doctor, it's like there's a specific threshold, like you need to like pass all these things in order to like, whereas if you haven't passed those things, regardless of how much you know or how much you can do it, how capable you are, it's like you can't do that because you don't have the certificate that says you can do it. So it's like a specific threshold, whereas like with a post it's like you can't actually take more
practical. Correct. Meaning, look, I mean, that's, yes, I mean.
So it's more perspective, so I feel like you really think of it as just like.
You're right, and that's the problem, right? Meaning, you know.
But it's not a hard thing.
Yeah. You know, look, I mean, I remember talking to Ray Schwartz about this once, right, where he said, right, that there were, of the senior Rosh Yeshiva, I won't give names, not on recording, right, but he said there were certain Rosh Yeshiva that he saw, and he said, I don't think I could ever be there, just because, like, that Rosh Yeshiva's natural intelligence is such that I could never reach that, no matter how hard I tried, right, like, the way they think, their memory is just not something I'm gifted with, right, and he said there are other Rosh Yeshiva who are really becoming a chamin, but I can see the path to get there, meaning that person is a very smart person who has worked hard for 50 years, right? And I could see the path to get there. Right? I thought that was a very helpful way of thinking about it, that yes, there are those people where, you know, you just get the feeling like, right, they have certain skills that either you have them or you don't, right? But there are other people you say, look, they're intelligent and they worked hard, and like if I worked for 50 years nonstop on this, then I could be there too. Okay. But the third factor that you need to talk about is bias, right? Which is, let's say we've decided that you are a posek, mazel tov, okay? You have graduated to posek level one status, okay? So now what? Other people come to you and ask your opinion on different shilas. Yes, that's normally what first-rate post can wear. Yes, exactly. But now the question is, fine, so you answer questions for other people. But what about for yourself? What's the problem, obviously? Right, what's the potential issue?
That now I just think, oh, I'm an official post-rate trademark. Like, I can do anything.
So what do you think? Can you popkin for yourself, right?
It depends on how objective you can.
Right, so the potential issue here is bias, right? Meaning just because you are smart enough and skilled enough to Pofkin doesn't necessarily mean when there's bias involved that you should, right? That's the question that we need to assess. Is the air conditioning not on here?
I think it is.
Really?
You want water?
I mean, yeah. I can. I can get
water.
Okay. Thanks, Brooke. Okay. So that's the question I want to take up. Now, if you just had to guess, what would you say? Does the fact that you're apostling for yourself create, from a halachic perspective, a conflict of interest? What do you think? If you had to guess. What?
Yeah.
Okay. So Deferet guesses yes. Any other guesses? There are only two possibilities. Well, not two, but...
No.
No, thank you. We needed two guesses. So we'll see it's a machloket, but the majority view, surprisingly, is actually no. Now, I should clarify. That doesn't mean that if someone themselves sees that they are being biased, like they feel themselves being, that doesn't mean it's not a good idea for them to...
Step away.
Yeah, step away. Thank you.
Okay.
And look, there are times when you can't poskin for yourself, not just because of bias, but because you're not in the headspace. Right? Like simple shilas. Right? Like the nida questions that come up after a woman gives birth are not like super complicated. But I remember that when we went to the hospital with our first child, with Mayer, it was like a surprise. It was 3 weeks early. Like I went to the doctor and they're just like, no, like the placenta stopped working, you need to go into, you need to deliver now, right? So it was all fine, thank God, right? But it was very stressful at the time, and I remember just calling Rabbi Schwartz, and I was like, I'm in the hospital, I'm not in the right headspace, could you please just pretend I'm not in your smicha shir and, you know, learning nida, and just give me the overview of what I need to know, because I just can't think straight right now, right? It was a very stressful situation, so that does happen. So obviously, in a case like that, the smart thing to do is to talk to somebody else. But I'm asking the formal question, right? Is assuming that you're not under in that case, and you can think clearly, and you don't think that you are being swayed. Are you allowed to poskim for yourself, or do you have to be worried that you are biased? So let us see where this comes from. So. The primary sources that are quoted are these first five sources on page 3, 18 through 22, where the Gemara in Nida, it's the same one I sent out on the WhatsApp last week, Yalta aiti damba lekimei diraba barbarchana vitamila. Yalta, who's Yalta?
Oh, I'm so sad Nisa's not here. Not here, Nachman's wife.
Yes, where is she?
Oh, yeah.
She's in the army office.
You don't have to. You don't have to run by me. I remember that. I didn't do the army. I just had to get iktur as the child of an Israeli, right? And I remember calling them, like, is the, you know, we were calling to get iktur, and they're like, the papers haven't come. I was like, we've sent them to you 5 times, right? Because that was back when the offices still believed that that email didn't work. It was a myth. You have to fax things. Right before Corona. This is until Corona. What?
Yeah, I had to fax.
Yes, and I remember, so we finally, I went to the Gush office and we're like, okay, we are going to fax you the relevant papers and we're going to wait on the phone until it comes. So we fax and then you hear the ring of it coming in on the other side, right? And they're like, no, it's not here. I'm like, I hear it coming in. I actually hear it. That is not possible. It's so incompetent. It's unbelievable. So Yalta, I'm sorry for Nisa. Yalta, I see Dhamma Kimes, Rabba Barachana Vitamila. Yalta brought blood to Rabba Barachana and he deemed it impure. Hadar Aiti Lakamedir of Yitzchak Varader of Yehuda Vidachila. And then she brought it to Rav Yitzchak, son of Yehuda, and he deemed it pure. Vehechi. Yes, this is one of the key sugyas to posik shopping. Yes, very good. Vehechi Avid Hachi. And Gemara says, how was she allowed to do that? Don't we know va Tanya Chacham Shetimein Chaveru Rashai Vitahera Sarin Chaveru Rashai? Yeah, it's here. That once a posik is forbidden something, another posik can't permit, and vice versa. So he says, no, this is what happened. Me'ikara timuye have metamila. Chayvan da amrle de chol yom ave matki la ki agav nave innu de chashbeine dachila. What happened was that Yalta said, look, every day when you have this shade, it is deemed pure. Today, I'm telling you, he had something in his eye, right? He had something in his eye, and it was just a mistake. So when she said that, then Rav Yitzchak ruled and said, yes, it is pure. Okay?
Wait, but she was so certain, why'd she go to teach rabbi?
So the question that everybody asked, yeah, why is it relevant?
Can women
poskening? Right, so there's two questions here, right? One is, why is Yalta not poskening? And the second is, why is Rav Nachman not poskening? Right? Those are the two questions that, right? Right, those are the two questions that you have to ask here, is why is this being taken to somebody else? Right. That's exactly the point. And that's why this is one of the sources where you have to wonder, is the reason because they didn't want a poskin for themselves. Right? That's why the sugya is relevant. That's exactly why it's relevant. Right? Okay. Yes. Then there's the following Mishnah in Nigayim, where the Mishnah says, "Kol ha-nigayim adam roeh chutz mi-nigay atzmo." All Nigayim, meaning Tzara'at, you're allowed to see and weigh in on, except for your own. Rabbi Meir Omer, af lo nigay krovav. Also, those of your relatives. Kol ha-nidarim adam matir chutz mi-nidrei atzmo. You can nullify all vows except for your own. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, af lo nidrei isho. Rabbi Yehuda says you can't nullify the vows of your wife. Shebeina levin acherim. Between her and others, I mean, beina levin atzma, you can, different story, different mechanism. Kala bicharot adam roeh chutz mi bicharot atzma. And all bicharot, meaning if there is a mum in a bichor, so then you're allowed to shecht it and eat it. Shelo, right? Shelo b'ktusha, right? Meaning not in the context of the mikdash, and you're allowed to deem it as a balmum, but not your own. So here we have three cases where you clearly can't poskin for yourself. Nigayim, Nidarim, and Bechorot. Okay? So what conclusion should you draw from that Mishnah? Well, two possibilities, right? One is, aha, you can't poskin for yourself, or you can't poskin yourself for some reason in these three instances, but you can elsewhere. Or some middle case, which is, you can't poskin for yourself in these three instances or anything similar, but you can in other cases, right? Well, you have to figure out which one.
When they give three specific examples.
Correct. So the simplest would be to say that either those are exceptions or they're stand-in for a principle, right? You're right. It would be weird to delineate three examples if what you really meant was you can never poskin for yourself. Correct. And that's why no one's really going to end up saying you can never poskin for yourself, right? As we'll see, there are going to be people who limit it, however. That Mishnah is slightly expanded in the version in the Tosefta in number 20. Lo'olam ena kohen rashai l'tameyachu enav bo uvora basar schutzelo o de masgiro potra nolad bo nega acher eiz nizkaklo. Okay, just look at the second to the last line, right? That ne'eman kohen lomar nega ze pasa nega ze lo pasa. Im baheret kadmai imser lelavan, imser lelavan kadmai baheret, v'neman hu al nigei atzmo. A kohen is believed, first of all, about certain halachot that are relevant to the hair come before the nega come before the hair, which have implications for tuman tara. But he's also believed about his own nigayim. And then you got to figure out, what does that mean, he's believed about them? Does it mean he rules on it? He's believed to say something about it? Potentially, yes, right? Potentially, if he's believed about it, then it isn't good. Okay, at the other extreme, though, you have a 22. I'll skip 21 just for a second. 22, Amarava, Tzur B'merabban al-Chazin l'Nashay. When it comes to checking the knife for Shechita, a Talmud Chacham can check his own. So now, again, you've got to ask, is that a stand-in? Does that mean normally you can't pass him for yourself? Or is that an exception, l'kula? Right? But the rule is more machmir.
But you brought up last week about the, like, having a show plate for a town.
Correct. So, That's why, right, and that's the why this might be exceptional, right, because it's in that context.
Yeah.
Exactly. Right, so it could be that seeing a knife, as we saw, is only a din of kavod, it might be different. Correct, 100%. Right, that's why you might think that that's exceptional. That, of course, you do yourself, because it's not really a shayla at all. It's more like an honorable thing that you ask the local rabbi about shlita issues. Correct, right, that's why you could... Exactly. Right, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Each of these you have to ask, is that a rule or is that an exception? To go to, back to 21, so the Gemara says, Tanur Rabbanan, commenting on the Mishnah we saw in Negayim, Kol becharod adam roeh chutz mishal asmo, v'roeh kadashav et maso tav, v'yishal al taharo tav. Amar mar, Kol becharod adam roeh mishal asmo, b'mayaskin, what's the case? Ilei mebechad min mehemet. If it is you alone, so obviously you're not believed, el betlata umi chashideh, but if you're part of a Beit Din, would we really not allow you to be a member of the Beit Din to weigh in on the status of the mum? Why? If someone does Mion or Chalitza in front of a Beit Din, we do allow one of the members of the Beit Din to marry that woman, and we don't assume bias, because since three men can't marry the same woman, we assume that they're not right ruling on the Chalitza just to make her no longer married. So the Gemara says, you're right. Even when it comes to your own Bechor, you could paskin if you were part of a Beit Din. It's only by yourself. Because by Mumin, you can either paskin that a Mum is enough to make the Bechor permitted to eat, either through a Yachin Mumcha, the Amar of Chizna, or Biyachin Mumcha, Biyachin Mumcha, either through a single person who's an extreme expert, or through a Beit Din. So as a member of a Beit Din, it would be totally fine. You just can't be personally, solely responsible for permitting the Bechor to you. Okay? So those are the Gemaras in play. And there are basically two perspectives that emerge in the Rishonim as what to do with this evidence. Tosvot, in 24, says the following. Mashma, it implies in the Gemara Nida, Shelo haita regila laharot l'Rav Nachman ba'ala. It sounds like Yalta didn't have Rav Nachman weigh in on the Nida Shalas in their house, because she's going, because it says every day she would ask other people. He says, why not? And what's the answer? What is Tosfot answer? Nah, answer one. Shemaloya lohaya baki. Rav Nachman was a big Talmud Chacham, but maybe he wasn't a Nida Posek. Okay. Right? It happens. Right? Not every big Talmud Chacham does Marot. Right? Marot is not book knowledge. Right? It's not book knowledge. Right? You need to be able to be good with colors.
Maybe they were both colorblind.
Yeah, sure. They were both colorblind. I don't know.
No,
right?
Actually, one of the
Correct. But the point is that Tosfot says the problem isn't that you're not allowed to paskin for yourself. You are. The problem is he wasn't an expert. The Omer of Nachman Le'el, Badama Kaza Kabbalah Ayta Be'adu, Inami Ayta Choshesh Hashem Ayah Machmir Asmo. Second possibility, she knew Rav Nachman. He was a big Machmir. And he would be afraid to be Mekil for himself. Right? Sometimes this happens, right? Sometimes you're biased L'Kula and sometimes you're biased L'Humra. And she was afraid that he was going to be overly Machmir. Right? They tell this story about Reb Chaim. That Reb Chaim had really sensitive shilas for himself. He asked the Dayan of Brisk, and he said, please, do me a favor. Paskin for me, and do not explain to me why. Because if you explain to me why, I'm going to find a svara, and I'm going to question it, and it's never going to end. Just paskin, tell me the answer. I don't want to know why. Right? That happens, right? If you think in certain ways, it's just very hard to actually come to a conclusion that is, even maybe in the direction of kula. I'm Liva Nokva Uparish, right? And he said what's going to happen is he wouldn't end up being with her. He wouldn't be willing to be intimate. And he wouldn't rely on his own wisdom. Or she thought that it would be Lonaim, right? He would, it's not so romantic showing the, day after day, showing the potential dirty Tamei blood. She didn't want to show her husband. She wanted to outsource it. But whatever the reason is, he says, Ein lomar dasur lerot d'me ishto. But it cannot be that what you learn from here is that you can't paskin for yourself. What's his proof? the Mishnah and the Gaim, exactly as Tiferet said before, which is if the Mishnah outlines three cases in which you can't paskin for yourself, it means everywhere else you can. And therefore, Tosfot concludes, you are allowed to paskin for yourself. There is no bias concern. On the other hand, if you look at number 23, the Rosh, who's the Rosh? No. Okay, so who is he? Not the Rosh, but the Rosh.
Oh.
Not Rabbeinu Asher.
Okay.
The Rosh Mishantz. Or Samson of Sens.
Okay.
Yeah, who is he? Okay, good. So, the most important of the Balei HaTosfot are?
The Ri.
Rabbeinu Tam. And the Rosh Mishantz.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ah, well, you've never heard of him, right? So, yeah, so Professor Katterfogel likes saying this, but he has his whole baseball metaphor of which one of them is Babe Ruth, which is Lou Gehrig, and which is Mickey Mantle. That's a bit dated for me.
I've heard of all of those people, and I've never heard of them.
Right. So Rabbeinu Tam was like the great Mechadesh of the Balei HaTosfot. The Ri is the great organizer.
Yeah.
But the Rosh, right, the Rosh is also, right, the most authoritative collection of Tosfos. He's that generation. He's that generation. Often, but it's usually written as the Rashba, not the Rosh. Right? The Ashkenazi Rashba is the Rosh Mishantz, Rav Shimshon ben Avraham. Yes, the Rashba in Tosfot is the Rosh Mishantz. But he also writes, and this is where he's one of the most prolific writers in the Balei Tosfot, but that's because he writes a running commentary on Mishnah. So on all the parts of Shas that we don't have Gemara, we do have the Rosh. So he writes a halachic commentary on Zra'im, on Kadshim, and on Tarot. Right? So like all the things we don't have, right? So the Rosh is a very prolific writer. Right? It's just that, you're right, he's not quoted that much. He's quoted as the Rosh, but he's quoted in Tosfot, and he writes some of the most authoritative collections of Tosfot, I mean, much better than the ones we have on Shas, right? Tosfot Shelanu is a much lower quality collection than the Tosfot Rosh Mishantz. But he also writes this extensive commentary on Mishnah, including the parts that no one else writes on. So in his commentary on Negaim, yeah, he's so good, the Rosh Mishantz, he's wonderful. Balei Tosfot is so much fun. As you know, we have a mild obsession with Balei HaTosfot in my family. Just mild. You know. Just, what?
Why?
Why? Because when Ora and I were we married already or just dating? I think maybe we were dating. I don't know. We were both in the same graduate class with Professor Katterfogel on the Balei HaTosfot, in which Ora became completely enamored with the Balei HaTosfot, and that's why all of our kids except for Aaron are named for Balei HaTosfot. Because Ora said that, and I thought she was joking before Meir was born, but she was dead serious. So all of our kids have been named for Balei HaTosfot, including the girls, right? All of them.
What are their names?
Meir, who's named for the Marami Rutenberg, because that's Ora's favorite Balei HaTosfot.
Okay.
Aaron is not. Aaron was named for Lucham Singh, because Lucham Singh passed away right before. My third son, Ezra, or Shmuel Ezra, is named for the Rashbam and Shmuel of Falej. And then Tamima is named for Rabbeinu Tam. And it's a nickname. Like Rabbeinu Tam was a nickname, so you can play on it, right? It was not like his name. It's thematic. What? Yaakov. Yaakov Yishtam. like every other, all the Balei HaTosfot were Yaakov.
So funny.
You think his name was Tam? His name was Yaakov. They all did it. All the Yaakovs amongst the Balei HaTosfot were all called Rabbeinu Tam. He was the main Rabbeinu Tam, but there's also the author of the Shemin HaShemayim is Rabbeinu Tam of Marvej, or Rabbi Yaakov of Marvej. Yes. Yes. And Ayala, what? And Ayala is a, what?
She's really excited. She's totally taking
it. Oh, he's giving it? Oh, it's a great class. Such a good class. So much fun. So much fun. I have never met anyone in my life who knows Tosfos better than him. Ever. It's crazy. Meaning, by Tosfos, I don't mean like, oh, he knows every Tosfos on Shas. I mean, when you ask him a question, he knows offhand 500 different manuscripts of other Balia Tosfot that have been printed and will tell you the unprinted page number of the manuscript. And like, ah, yes, that is in this obscure Balia Tosfot in that manuscript that I found in the, yes. And he'll, like that. Every time I ask him a question, it's like,
oh my God.
Yeah, it's not like, oh, that's a Beferish Tosfos in Gittin. Like, sure. There are people in the world who can do that. It's more like, yes, that, I saw that in Rav Avigdor Katz, and the Minchat Yehuda quotes it in his third book. It was crazy. He put together he took all these manuscripts of like secondary Balia Tosfot, which collected comments of various Rishonim on Chumash, and then reconstructed what their Perush of HaTorah would be, and then from that reconstructed their methodology and traced the development from Rashi through Rashbam by filling in the gaps with all of these Balia Tosfot who don't actually have running commentaries, but you can reconstruct their commentary if you know all the Balia Tosfot. It's an insanely impressive book. Unbelievable. It's really cool. He's great. Ad Hayom, whenever I have a Tosfos question, I email him, and like half an hour later, I get, look at this like dissertation, this footnote, look at this manuscript. Yeah. It's a good class. It's a fun class. I mean, I took the graduate level one, but I'm sure the undergraduate one is very good also. It was fun. This morning I was listening to a podcast with him on my way on the Balia Tosfot, and it was just like a good chazara. It was so much fun, right, on the Svarim Chatter podcast. I finally gave in and started listening to it. It's actually very good.
Oh, I listened to it.
I don't know, but it's fun.
What's the
Svarim pod? It's Svarim Chatter podcast. It's like this, like, it's like, I don't know. It's apparently this yeshivish guy who talks to impressive people about books. So I listened to a few today. I listened to Canterfogel. Svarim Chatter. So I listened to one by Canterfogel, and then I listened to Deborah Kaplan, who, she's excellent. She was in YU when I was there. I took her in YU, but now she's in Bar Ilan. She's very good. On her new book on charity in the Middle Ages. Fun stuff. So the Rosh Mishan says, V'dafka bifnei atzmo in yochol latir ava vishu mumcha. Ava l'starvim shnayim latir kizin shloshet yoto. Right, so he says, quote first the Gemara that you're allowed to be part of a bez and you can't do it yourself. Why? The time we do mishum dechashdin and leidima mekel gabe ishto shelo livaker nidrav chayven dehavu batlat lo chashide. And the reason is because we're worried that you're going to be biased. And then after the ellipsis, now he wants to figure out. But wait a second, we know there are cases in Shas where you can paskin for yourself. So he says v'sheva yesh lechalek ben hecha de itchazek isura dehecha de lo itchazek isura. The difference is itchazik isura lo itchazik isura. What's itchazik isura? What does itchazik isura mean? It means whether the isur was established and you're removing it or not. Meaning, there's a difference between where something is presumed usur and you need to remove the status of isur. And when something, it's just a question, is it us or mutter, but it's currently in an unknown state. And what he says is, anytime you need to change, you need to uproot a forbidden status. So, the case of Bechor. At the moment, if a Bechor doesn't have a mum, it cannot be eaten. Bechol, by having a mum, now it can be. You're removing a prohibition. Right? Nigaim, the person is now tame. When they heal, they can start the tahara process. In all those cases, it's chazik isura. You made a neder, you are now forbidden to do something. You need to undo that status. So there, where you're uprooting a status, you can't weigh in on your own questions. But where you're not uprooting a status, it's simply a question. What is the status of my spoon that fell into my, right, into the wrong sink? Exactly. And then twirl it around your head a few times and say some Hail Marys and whatever. Yeah, exactly. Yes, exactly, right? So nothing, right? Nothing happens. And you should never say a Hail Mary, right? But that is absurd.
Just to stop that.
Yeah, you should say that. Yes, exactly. So now, how do we poskin? What do we say? So the Ramah quotes the Minog that in some places, only the people in charge of kashrus for the city are the ones who check the knives.
Okay.
But what does that tell us? So if you look at the Taz writes, Mashmal vidina shochiru vodeg v'atzmo. The Ramah says that it was some minhag by him that people didn't check their own shechita knives. But that tells you in their own, right? But that tells you that Mekra din the Ramah thought you could. Right? That maybe it's not always the best idea, but fundamentally he didn't think there was a problem. It's just the minhag in certain places was not to. Vikasha, he says, how can the Ramah say that it's mutter to paskin for yourself? What about the Mishnah and the Goyim? And the Rosh there says, it chazik isura. So if you look at the last line, he says, v'nir de lo sharim medina lishchot de rov mitzuyen, avam ir lahora lo yoreh. So the Taz says, he paskins like the Rosh, that you're not allowed to paskin if something's established as usur. And therefore, he says, a knife, most of the time it's fine, and therefore, that you can check, because it's not as chazik isura. But if there were a question that you now had to weigh in, right now there's a presumption that it's also, you actually need to weigh in, you need a paskin, do you matter it? Then he says, you can't. Right? So he accepts some version of the Rosh. I'm not sure it's exactly the same as the Rosh, but he more or less says he's paskin like the Rosh. Meaning when it's a chazik yisura, you can't paskin for yourself. The Chachmat Adam, if you skip to 30, says the same thing. L'may nafkamina. So he says as follows. By Nida, do you guys know Hilchot Nida at all? I never know what people know. You do? Like, you know the basics. Okay. Good, right? This is like one of those differences in like men's and women's education, which makes sense, right? But that, right, men know nothing about Hilchot Nida at all until like they learn before they're married. They don't even know the basic terms. So, how does a woman become tahara from Nida? So, because we treat Nida not like Nida, but like Zava, right? What? You need Shiva Nikiyim and not 7 days of blood, right? Fine. So, by regular Nida, Mida Araisa, you would need a Hefsek Tahara. The only thing you would need is to make sure you stop bleeding after day 7. Right now, because you need Shiva Nikiyim, you need a Hefsek Tahara before you start counting. Okay? And then you need 7 clean days. I understand. I know that's not, yeah, fine.
Fine.
But Chachmat Adam therefore says that if there's a Shaila on the Hefsek Tahara, then at that point, it's a Chazik Yisura. Right? Because the presumption is that there's still blood, and you're trying to establish a cessation of blood. But once you've established that, once you've gotten a clean Hefsek Tahara, so then marot after that, and bedikot after that, are b'cheska tara, because you've established that the blood has stopped, and now you're just confirming it. So the Chachmat Adam says, if you follow like the Rosh Mishans, then a woman or her husband should not paskin for themselves. There's going to be that one person who's listening and be like, that was the controversial part that I just slipped in and didn't even, right, care. What? No, I knew you did, right? I'm like, there's going to be the person who's going to do it. I mean, I don't care. It's not like a secret. It's not like, right? It's not like, shh, right? Like, shh. Yeah, it's like anyone who, you know, there's only so many Shirim Avayin you can listen online before it comes up that we don't have a rabbi in Dagan. So many, many, many of the Nida Shailas just come to my house and already deals with them, right? Like, you know, we might pass them on, but like, right, this is not like a secret. I mean, in Efrat, it's not a secret at all. Like, on the Moed Sadatit website, it's, these are the phone numbers of all the Yotzot you can call. Right, there's a lot of Yotzot per capita in the Gush. A lot, right? I mean, Alon Shvud is like the most per capita of anywhere. It's like 700 families and like 12 Yotzot. But Efrat is not bad. Efrat is like 6, 7, maybe. How many do we have? Yes, and we're many times the size. I know. It's terrible. It's terrible. It's like, So what does it count if we have a shul with a woman rabbi, though? What does that add to that cheshvan, right? Right? I don't know what it means. I told you, there were people who texted me to yell at me that Ephraim was liberal. I'm like, what do you want me to do about it? This is not my neighborhood in Ephraim. It's not my shul. I don't care. Like, I don't care. I know. I'm sure. I did.
So, yeah.
No. Put it this way. I would never, under any circumstances, answer that while the recording is going, right? Right. The only thing I would ever say in recording is, I don't care what happens, because it's not my responsibility, right? My personal opinion is irrelevant. But why someone felt like they needed to text me because I live in Efrat, I'm like, you could try, right? Right? But yeah, I was like, I'm on the rabbinic search committee for a different shul, and we're not considering female rabbis, okay? Does that help you? Does that hurt you? Does that make you more angry at me, less angry at me? It's not my problem. I'm a balabas in Ephrat. I don't have to care. It's the best thing. I'm not a rabbi. I mean, I have smicha, but, like, I don't have to care. It's not my business. But, yeah, I got texts. They're like, look what's going on in Ephrat. It's terrible. I'm like, what? It's not my neighborhood, and I don't care. Yeah, do people like email you and be like, oh, someone in your community doesn't keep halakha the way I do, it's your fault.
They totally do.
Do they?
What?
They were like, it was accusatory, as if I had something to do with this. I'm like, what do I have to do with this? I read the newspaper article just like you did, right? I didn't have anything to do with it. I found out about it after it happened.
You were
the exactly. I was like, what do you want from me? No, honestly, some of these texts, you would have thought that I'm like the chief rabbi of Ephrat, and I gave my stamp of approval. I'm like, it's a big place. You know? Yeah, it was very weird. Fine. But the Chachmas Adam therefore follows this, and he says that a Bal Yachol Lerot Demeishto, that a husband can weigh in and paskin and either shayla for his wife. But, v'nirli dim'ir lo she'ela b'inyana tvila, but if there's a Shaila on the Tvila, right? It would be the same thing, right? Or on the Hefsek Tara. I thought that was like, that's another posek. But he says if it was a Shaila on Tvila, it would be the same problem based on the Rash, right? Because Tvila is his Chazek Yisura. See, I'm telling you, there's going to be someone listening to this, and there's going to be someone who's going to assume that I clearly think it's Mutter because I didn't denounce it as Usser on record. And someone else is going to say, clearly you think it's, right? Usser, because you didn't say it's mutter. Depends on the shir, but enough people that I get multiple emails a week about shirim.
That's so much fun.
You know? Which sometimes they're raised, like often they're raised some. So there are certain people who email me regularly in shirim to add makarot, to ask my opinion about something, to yeah, no, there are wonderful people who follow up. I encourage follow up. There are some people who follow up with me with very weird things. Yeah.
Like what?
That I'll tell you after. Right? Fine. But I do get weird things.
Yeah, I essentially wasn't an MMY girl who said she lives with weird shirim. Like I mentioned, I'm class with her own earring. She's like, earring. Yeah.
Yeah, that happens to me sometimes also. It's funny. Yeah. Okay. So that's the Taz, that's the Chachmas. The Tiferes Yisrael also says that the reason is because Chashin Damar B'Didami V'Tova. We're worried that it's hard for someone to separate from his wife, and then we're worried that he's going to make a mistake. He's going to be biased. The Shach, on the other hand, disagrees. And the Shach says, no. What are you talking about? He quotes Tosos, Kolayad, the Yachal Lirot, the Tosin Kolayad, the Yachal Lirot, the Mate, Ishtro. Right? Shach says no. Right? There is no problem whatsoever. Shulchan Harav also says it's only, we are only worried in the case of Ischazi, sorry, we're only worried in the case of Bechor. Because Bechor is a special halacha, it requires special expertise. And if you look at Ravadia in 33, he summarizes, he says, Maskana Didina, the halacha is, Bahasa liknoa anachidna, Shetam Chacham Rashai lo wrote, Bein lahakel, Bein lahachim, Regan bedin shall have sektara. Ravadia says, the majority view seems to be, a person can paskin for themselves on everything, doesn't matter. Same Savik Tila Shilishko, doesn't matter. It's Chazik Yisr, low is Chazik Yisr, Afal Bishulchak Yisr, Mikoshkin Rashal or Afal Kubadin Adamim. And for sure, in a regular halacha, Ktam Shilishko Shivachet Gitara, Chalza Gambitok Shivanikim, Lisvi Rasa. And he quotes, this is the position, even the first 3 days, doesn't matter. And he quotes the Ramban, he quotes the Ran, the Sefer Eshkol, and he notes that even modern poskim, they think that. And the Chazon Ish says this very odd thing with the Chazon Ish, and Emunah Bidachon says, yes, Isser Shochad, the Isser to take bribes, you might have thought it was a mishpat, it's not, it's a chok. I would not have said that. but his proof is because you're allowed to paskin for yourself, which shows that we do believe that you can overcome biases. Right? And the majority of you does seem to be that you are allowed to paskin for yourself. We're not that worried about bias. Now, again, before I take Ruthie's question, obviously, if you feel yourself biased, right, or frazzled and you just can't think straight, or you think you're going to be too machmir, right, bein l'kula bein l'chumra, it doesn't matter. Obviously, then you should go to somebody else. But as a formal rule, once you get to the point where you can paskin, the majority of you seems to be that you are allowed to paskin for yourself. Yeah, Ruthie.
So about the person who said that... it's something that you require special knowledge for. Would that person then apply it to other scenarios where you require special knowledge?
So it sounds like it might just be the ones that are listed there, right? Bechor and right Nidarim, which is a little bit unique, and Nigayim, which is a little bit unique, but not everything, right? Because it's a very particular. Now, why is Mumchiyut a problem? Either because, I don't know, right? There's no check on it, right? Because no one else, you couldn't, right? No one else would be able to necessarily tell, or I don't really know, or whatever. It's just a Gzeret HaKasuv, and it's just it's a unique halacha. Who knows? Okay, there is a related halacha, which I put on the second half of this page, which is, do we believe somebody when they quote a halachic tradition, right? Like, oh, I heard from my Rebbe that such and such is mutter, when that tradition works in their favor. Right? Right, that's a related question. We can quickly go through it if you would like. Would you like to? Or I can leave it. But that's, what? I mean, it's here. I can go through it quickly. It's up to you. Meaning, I can go through it quickly. We can just, that's... What? Okay, let's go very quickly, right? So the Gemara in Yevamot, Ayin Zayin, tells this story. By the Chuzi, let me yad v'amasa ben ish, v'shmo yitra yisraeli, shabala v'gal bat nachash, giv yetzer shmeli, v'ramla shechagar harbo ki shmo, v'amra kom ishin shmei alach hazu, yitkar v'cherev. It's one of these whole stories of Amoni v'lo Amonit, right? Right, there are all these dramatic stories of whether or not we hold of that halacha, that the Isurim of marriage to someone from Amon only applies to the males and not the females. And at some point he gets up with his sword and says, I heard this Midorah from Shmuel, from the Beit Midrash of Shmuel Hanavi, Amoni v'lo Amonit, Moavi v'lo Amoavi. 3 lines in, the Gemara says, Umi mehemin, do we believe him? If Halacha comes up, and a Talmud Chacham, if he quoted the Masorah before it became relevant, we believe him. But if he conveniently remembers the Masorah that's making when suddenly he needs a Kula, we look askance at it. What? So the Gemara says, but isn't that what happened here? So the Gemara says, no, Shiny Hacha Dashmuel Vedino Kayam. No. You're allowed to quote a tradition even when it only becomes relevant now, if the person who said the tradition is still alive, because then it can be, right, verified. Mikom bakom kasha, and then the Gemara goes through some other details, okay? So Rashi says, "Im kodem mase shebar hara liado amra v'shana l'talmidav in a midrash b'shem Rabo shaman l'vashat hara lav ein shaman lo shema machmat mase haba liado amra." Said, right, if you taught it before, so that's fine, then we believe you. But if you only said it now, so then we don't believe you. Right.
If someone starts a conversation,
correct.
Out,
right.
Bring them up.
Right. But when that's going to be what changes the whether we poskin like it or not, right? That gets exactly. Now, the Gemara and Bechorot discusses this as well in a different context. So if you look at right, that same line. Right, it quotes that same line. I'll skip the exact context there. Tosfot, first of all, limits it and says this is only, it needs two things. One, if you only brought up the question, you only brought it up when it was asked, and you brought it up when it came up, and it's relevant to you, meaning Tosfos clarifies and he says, there's no problem. It's not that we don't believe you if you only bring it up when it's relevant. Because, yeah, like Ruthie said, you might only be bringing it up because it's relevant now. If you conveniently remember it now when you need a kula and it's never been brought up, the combination of the fact that you never brought it up and that you need the kula right now, that's where we don't believe you. Now, it doesn't mean you can't poskim like it. It just means that nobody else can rely on that as like, this is obviously, right? Meaning, what we're asking here is, can we believe you so much that now other people can rely on that authority, right? And that is where Tosa says, no. Shayetach lo to'arah sharei beit Yishai nasa, and he quotes the whole story. Avalim ain't speaking lo to'arah shomin lo'af v'shalom ra'achad masa. But if you don't need it, if it's not relevant to you, then of course, as Ruthie said, I can bring it up and say, oh, actually, I once heard someone speak about that. That's fine. It's just when it's also relevant to you, the combination of factors make that we don't implement that as psak just because you said it. However, the Meiri argues. The Meiri says, no, even if you're not nogea, right? Even if you're not nogea, that kol tam and chacham shemoro halacha uba, ratzalomar shomer devar chidush v'shem rabotav, that you say a chidush from your teachers, im koda maase, if you say it just in the context of learning before it becomes an actual shayla, shomin lo. V'im omerit b'shat maisa, ein shomin lo, afal b'she'ino moge b'davar, b'mitzad asmo. Even if it's not relevant to you, we still don't believe you. Why? I don't know. Right? That's a very surprising position of the Meiri. However, the Ritva, not only does he reject that, but he is even more expansive than Tosfot. And he says, this doesn't even apply when you say a svara. A svara you can say even when you're biased, when you're not biased, when it relates to you. Why? Right, it's logic, and therefore people can argue with you, and you're bringing it up to the conversation, and maybe it'll get shot down. The Gemara is saying a very local point, which is, you can't try to poskin on the basis of tradition. Based on a tradition no one else knows except for you, when you're the only one who knows it and you're only bringing it up when it's relevant. Right? Meaning this is not saying that you can't poskin when you are nogea. It just means that suddenly you're nogea, whatever it is, you can't say, aha, I have a misora from Moshe Rabbeinu, right? That you can't question, right? Because that, right, it's only because of the nature of tradition where it's not based on svara, right? Amoni v'lo amoni could go either way. It's just that what was happening tomorrow was they were quoting it from Shmuel. Either it's true or either it's historically true or it's not. Right? There's no lumdus here. If there's lumdus, then of course you can bring it in, because even if you are biased, the fact that what you're saying is logical means that people can question it and it can go through the right process. This is a very local halacha in terms of pulling out a tradition. Right? That's when it becomes problematic. Now, Shulchan Aruch accepts Tosfot's limitation, right? The Talmud Chacham, Sha'amar Dvar Halacha B'davar HaShayach L'Didei, Im Amra Kodem Ma'asa Shomen Lo V'im Lavein Shomen Lo, right? He accepts both, right? Shulchan Aruch takes both limitations. We only reject it if one you're biased. And two, it's a misora. Right? Dafka sha'amar kachki balti. If I'm avar davar misvara, umara panim ledavar, v'hu nira shomin lo. But if you say a svara, and everyone else agrees with you, then we do paskin like it. It's just a very specific case where you're biased, and you want a paskin based on tradition with no logic, and therefore it's not questionable, it's not challengeable, then we don't believe you. And we don't let you to sort of draw these analogies by yourself because you might draw fake, false analogies. But if you say something which is obviously true, then obviously we do listen to you. Right, the Taz clarifies the reason that some is worried about analogies is because of bias, you might have, end up making a mistake. Fine. But as the Shach notes, what does it mean that you can, right? If you have a source for it, like a written source, then again, you can, right? Because then you're relying on the written tradition, not on your memory, right? So by the time you get through all the postgame, this is a very localized halacha, which is basically, I can't say I have a Masorah from whatever, Moshe Feinstein, and everyone's just going to accept me on authority, and it's not written anywhere, and I only bring it up when it's relevant to me, and no one's ever heard of this tradition, right? That's when we say, don't do it. Exactly, and that's why Shulchan Aruch says that we don't do. But short of that, you can. Okay? Fine. So that is factor three, the question of bias, where in the end of the day, we surprisingly don't care about bias that much. Good. What was the question? Yes, question. We had questions.
Why questions that
can't be asked? Yes, yeah, so not that. What? Yeah, it's an interesting question. I don't know. Is it because, yeah, I don't know if they just don't think people are going to be biased or, I don't know. Like I said, obviously, I don't think anyone would say that if you feel like you are, you feel yourself, I don't think anyone would say that, but look, it's a good question. Like in Canada, I don't know if all in Canada, at least in Toronto, you're not, by law, if you're a doctor, you're not allowed to be your kid's doctor.
Right, stuff like that.
Right, that's against the law.
Like in our culture, it's so...
Right, because we assume that parents will just not be objective, right? They'll overreact because it's my kid's pain, or they'll underreact, or whatever. We just don't think they'll get it right. Right, so it's a good question why we're not worried about this.
And my neighbor comes to me, saying something about, your fence has to be within this regulation. And I'm like, no, sorry, that's not the law. And I pull on the law and tell it to them, even if it helps me. Then that, I think you'd probably be less worried about that. But if my neighbor and I are in court, that's a different, I can't be the judge of that case.
Yeah, I mean, that would be different, yeah. Right, court cases get trickier, right? Nogea is much more of a problem in that context. okay, good. So those are the three factors we've seen in terms of possibly for yourself.